Okay, we're coming. So we're going to I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of this morning. It wasn't that it was so fast, but there wasn't that much there. I just didn't have much time. But let's have this thing set. This is going to be what this is through. We just talked this morning a little bit about a verse that pops up on my internet all the time, and it was a verse in Peter. And it just carried us off into three more verses. The verse in 1 Peter 4:7, this is a little introduction here. We'll just make this quick. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and it first began at us. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And you find that people, when they're talking about God's judgment all the time on America, whatever, they're always popping up this verse. And this just isn't our verse. For the time is come. That means right now the judgment is going to begin at the house of God. Everybody thinks we're the house of God. We're Christians. We're churches and everything. And if it first began at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And the next verse says that we'd be scarcely saved. Think of those, how what their condition is going to be. And then the last verse there talks about how commit to keeping of their souls, since we have to make sure that we do right to keep our souls committed to Him. So people say, I'm going to commit my life to Jesus. That's probably where they get one of those verses. Don't commit your life to Jesus for salvation. He doesn't want your life. He wants you to have His. So then He'll take the things that you do to please Him, if that's possible. So anyway, we just noticed that verse just isn't to us. That's just not a threatening verse. That's not anything to us. The goodness of God is keeping the judgment from starting until the rapture, until He cuts off the Gentiles. So then we went through a bunch of verses, chapter 4, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Take a look at those sometime. We went through verses 7 and 8. Look at verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 4. But the end of all things is at hand. Is that where we are? That's not where we are today. We should be sober. Sure, we should be. Paul tells us that. And we should watch under prayer. Sure, we should always be praying, giving Him our requests and things. Not a problem. But it's not because the end of all things is at hand. So Paul teaches. Verse 8, above all things have fervent charity. There you are again, back in the time when the works, the charity, will be the most important thing. Above all, it says there, I have fervent charity among yourselves. Charity will cover the multitude of sins. And that's not today. We still need to have charity, not a problem. It'll cover up some of the problems that are going on, not a problem. But that's not what he's talking about here. So we realize where charity fits in. Say the Bible, the truth. People hide behind charity. They hide behind doing right. They hide behind learning and knowledge and all judgment, he says, because they claim charity. And I think charity is just a cop-out. And I'll show you why in a second here. We went down to verse 12 through 14, fiery trials, there they are. We have hard times where we're partakers of Christ's sufferings. We're not partakers of Christ's sufferings. We're partakers of an economy that went bonkers, of a country that turned away from God if it ever did have it. We're reaping what we sowed. We're not reaping Christ's suffering. Some people have, but why? That's just a choice. That's not the call of the church. We went down to, 17 and 18 and 19. We looked at chapter 5. We looked at verse 4. Talks about the chief shepherd. He's a shepherd. We're not sheep or anything. He's just referring to the Jews. These are verses that just show us that these are just tribulation verses during the tribulation, obviously. And sure, there's faith. And sure, there's those things. But there's the dangers of losing everything. I look at verse 5. Of chapter 5, we see where God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. We don't see that today. The pride are having a great time, and the humble people are, lots of them, having a horrible time. So, is your grace given from God based on your humbleness? Is that how your salvation is based? That's putting some false application in there. If you go down to verse 8 and 9, here's a roaring devil walking about, who made me devour, that type of a thing. We go down to verse 13. It talks about the church that is at Babylon. So there is a church. There are local people. There are Christians. In the tribulation, the church is at Babylon, this particular one. Well, Babylon isn't the greatest place in the world. I mean, that's a bad place. But there are Christians there. So I have no doubt now, saying, even more so than I had before, that the Laodicean church is the church age, and this is one church in Babylon that will be a Laodicean church. They'll be lukewarm and the whole spiel during that time. Unless they've got a few people hanging in there tight, then that'll be tough stuff. So then we just kind of mosey out into another word that keeps coming across in conversational time, and that's the word discernment. And we just went through the verses of discernment and discerning, and we see that in the Gospels, discernment, they're hypocrites because they can't discern the time signs of the times. And then they know all these things. God gives them these things. They should be able to discern those things. We go into Paul's teachings. All Paul talks about is there are things that need to be spiritually discerned, and they can come. God will show that to them. The Spirit of God will show that to them during this time. It's one of those gifts that's given to somebody, other discerning of spirits. Some people are better discerners than others. But this is before the Bible was the Word of God. This is before, I must put it this way, this is before the 1611 Bible. This is before that which is perfect has come. So what we see here, we see that discernment today is not something God's going to just give us out of the blue. That went away when He put together this Bible. That which is perfect, finished, complete. Now our discernment comes from reading our Bible. I mean, it's just that simple. And you read Paul's teachings and you realize that that's where your discernment's got to come from. And because of that, then we went through some things about why is it that we have such a hard time discerning? Well, we won't go to the verses again. We're afraid to judge based on Romans 14. Somebody hits us up with Romans 14. We're not supposed to judge anybody. That's talking about the doubtful disputation things. Those aren't worth judging any situations over. We're supposed to grow in knowledge and in judgment, and we're supposed to discern these things. That comes from our Bible. There's a bunch of reasons. One endures on doctrine, riches, air calls people to err from the faith, seducing spirits, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Then I heard somebody say, well, we're all just in the time of grace anyway, so what's the big problem? Paul had the same battles, why can't we? The conclusion was this morning was discernment is being able to discern between good and evil, and the only way you'll know that today is from your King James Bible, rightly divided, reading through Paul. I mean, it's that simple. We also got to remember, which I didn't talk about this morning, I think it's Isaiah chapter 5, we're living in a day where they're starting to call good things bad, evil, and evil things good. And if we're not careful, we're going to think something's good, but really, it's bad. It is not a good thing. And that's one of the things we teach our children. They're around some things that we know were bad when we were children. By the time they're up there, it's not even a bad thing for them. I mean, half the people that are, again, back to that subject, are dressing the way they're dressing. That's just the way they were brought up to dress. So you can't get mad at them for dressing that way or talking that way. When people cuss up a blue streak, they don't even know they're doing it half the time. They just don't know these things. So a Bible is the only way they're going to be, or through the preaching of the Word of God, or through a preacher or whatever, or sermons or whatever. So that's what we looked at. We went to a couple other things because people think they get this discernment from their own little mind, from their own heart. And then we went to 1 John chapter 2, and we also see that there's that word anointing. People think they have this anointing. They think they have this discernment skill and this power. You get your discernment from reading your Bible to know that this is right or wrong, Dad. You get your anointing. No, we're not anointed because if you read 1 John chapter 2, it says that you have nobody can teach you anything. We haven't got that kind of anointing. This Bible has been anointed. This is the Word of God. This thing has nobody can add to this thing. There's no reason to take it away, but there's nothing they can add to this thing that's perfect. That which is perfect has come. So the anointing that people claim to get is just again, false dispensational teachings. And then you jump over to verse 20, and you see this great verse about unction. Everybody pray that the pastor has unction. So when he gets up there and he's going to preach a sermon, pray that this pastor knows everything. Well, he's not going to know everything. He has to know what he studied in his sermon. That's all he's going to know. And as he does it for more and more years, he'll know more verses and he can do stuff like that. And that's fine. But he's not going to, you can't pray for this guy to have the unction because it says, and ye know all things. But ye have an unction from the Holy One and ye know all things. Well, I'm sorry, I don't. And I never will. In the tribulation, though, some people will. Then you get into the last thing, is you go to 1 Peter, I got to write the reference down again, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 1, on this thing about everybody gets so concerned about private interpretation. What verse was that? 2 Peter, I know where that's at. Yeah, 2 Peter 1:20 up there by the prophecy thing. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. Again, this is the only place you see this warning put together, and you got to just realize that during the times of the tribulation, yes, they won't have a King James Bible. They won't have a Bible. It'll be a famine of the Word of God. They'll be hearing things, if they're lucky to even be hearing those things, and they can come up with some private interpretation. In fact, if you go through Jude, you see that that's where people, that's what they'll be doing, is changing what's being taught. So, these are just things that you put all these together. You put this fear of judgment, and you put this discernment, and you put anointing, and you put unction and private interpretation on things. People are throwing out the Bible. And that Bible will tell us about God's judgment. The goodness of God, there is no judgment right now for either side. It'll tell you how to discern what's good or evil from your Bible reading. It'll tell you about anointing. It's coming in the tribulation. This Bible has everything. You don't. It'll tell you about unction. That's coming in the future. It'll show you that if your pastor's preaching for unction, either he's a deceiver being deceived, or he just doesn't understand it, or whatever. Then you got that private interpretation stuff. You read Paul, what sort of privately interpret? You understand that that 1 Corinthians 13:10 is the Word of God, and it has to be. Then those things before that took place in Paul's time, if you're going to follow Paul, you've got to be careful that you don't go for the holy handkerchiefs, you don't go for the laying out of hands to receive the Holy Ghost, that you don't go for speaking in tongues, because if anybody knew how to do it, it was Paul. He gives you the rules right there. All those things that took place in Paul's time, all that stuff went away when this Bible came along. I don't believe it's the Bible, because there's all sorts of changes and polishing going on, like Mrs. Ripperger says. All the polishing and correction, da-da-da-da, boom, we're done, it's perfect. From that which is perfect has come, to that which is in part is done away. And all that stuff is history. Amen. Everything comes out of this Bible today. So it's no wonder God hates this Bible. And it's also no wonder the King James guys still don't know what to do with it, because they've been taught falsely, rightly dividing. Rightly dividing by verses. I think I said something right there. But what did I say wrong there? Oh, no one, yeah, no one. Yeah, no one, okay, backtrack. I will, dog. There we go. I went backwards of that stuff. And no wonder the devil hates this Bible. And it's no wonder people hate the Bible, because this is what it all comes out of. This is actually the authority. This is actually the anointing. This is actually the unction. It already interprets itself, because it tells us to follow Paul. Right. And if you want to discern good and evil, read Paul. There. That's what I did this morning. And I did it about the same speed, because we're so hurting for time. So now we get to do tonight's sermon probably just as fast, because we used up all that much time to do this. And we should be done by when? 9:35? Somewhere, 9:40, somewhere in there. Plenty time, because we're going to do grammar. We're going to do grammar again. You wouldn't believe the comments I'm getting from the internet out there about people that are having fun doing these grammar lessons. Yeah. Now, unfortunately, the notes are not there. I'll have to work on them tonight, because I'll probably have all night to work on them. But we're going to go through this word through, T-H-R-O-U-G-H. And when I got into this thing, I thought, okay, now what is the word through? I have a feeling it's a preposition, because if you don't know what it is, it's a preposition. You got a pretty good chance in your classes. If you don't know what it is, I think it's a preposition. You might be right. Then I learned that there's 150 prepositions. It's just not that little list in our book. There's 150 of those things. I think what that is, that's about 130 words that these English scholars didn't know what they're going to be, so let's make them prepositions. I think I understand how they do these things. So it's the word through. And through, it's a part of speech. It's a grammar thing again. Here's the word, embraces. It brings together a number of words used before nouns and pronouns to connect to the preceding material. So you've got something that's said here, and then that preposition, that through, is going to bring that stuff right on over and puts it all together. We've been over that a little bit. So, This whole piece of paper for that right there. A part of speech embraces a number of words used before nouns or pronouns to connect to the preceding material. And I'll show you what I mean by all that here. Gotta check out some more amens and all that. See if this grammar thing is gonna really fire them up out there. I'm not getting amens like we used to with the grammar thing. Here we go. Let's go here to Acts chapter 15, verse 11. And I'll show you what this word through, T-H-R-O-U-G-H. We got a whole bunch of them, so we could go on a length, so slow down. We're just doing Paul's throughs. And you know, matter of fact, come to think of it, is that the way this works, huh? I think the word through is only one time in the Gospels. Because I'm going to type in John. What I do when I do these things is I type up, or I have printed out all the verses of a subject or a title, a word or something that Paul, they're in Paul's verses, in Paul's books. Then I type them up, then I bring them up, print them off on the Gospels, then I print them off from Hebrews to Jude. And you compare that stuff. And that's how I get started on this thing. Was I realized that there are some things that are said so different in the Gospels than what Paul says, or sometimes Paul says some things that are different than what, of course, he would, and yet sometimes those things match, but very seldom. So you can see how God is telling somebody a little bit differently in those dispensational things. And if I'm correct on this thing, I think the word through is in John chapter 20, and that's, I might have thrown those other pages away. I better be careful before I say that. You know what? I can do a fast check here because watch me cut off Skype now because I'm asking this computer to do something else. I'm going to type in here. This is going really slow. I shouldn't be doing this. If I lose you guys, I'll come back here. Oh, this is just really... I think I'm going to touch this thing up here. Okay, here we go. I'm going to try to get out and forget I even said anything like that. Hit close. There it goes. Okay, there it goes. If any of you guys out there got an online concordance that's pretty quick, just type in through T-H-R-O-G-H, T-H-R-O-U-G-H. It must be in the Gospels. I can't imagine it wouldn't be. No, it wouldn't be because I've got searches through, or search results through in Christ at the top, and the first one is John chapter 20.
The grace and peace.
Yeah, these are read that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. It's the only time they use the word through in the Gospels. John chapter 20?
The grace and truth through Jesus Christ.
Through T.H. Well, we got somebody looking. I'm sure somebody's going to check it out up there. Interesting. No, that's all right. I know we do. Here we go. Acts chapter, let's get the ones that we know are in there. Acts chapter 15, verse 11. Here we go. And again, these are just things that will help you read. This is not a preachy, grumpy type of thing tonight. This is not any try to dig on anybody or whatever. That discernment thing was good enough. I hope that gets floating around in the world. But Acts 15:11, we see the word through. We believe that through what? The grace of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ, what? We shall be saved. So we see through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should be saved. Now, if you want to do any kind of a study basis, just look for the words through. Through what? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to see how much stuff. We can see how much Christ has done for us because it had to have been done through Him. That's my whole point of the whole thing. These are verses that, I know what it is. Yeah, if anybody's looking, yeah, I know, you got it, man. There's a whole bunch of them, Mark. This is the words through and Christ. This is the study of the phrase, the two words, through and Christ. There we go. There had to be the word through in the Gospels. I mean, that's a pretty common preposition, but anyway. So these are the verses that have through Christ in them. So these are the things that we realize that we should learn here that we would not have if it wasn't for Christ, because it was through Him. There we go. My mind's been distracted today, so that only happens in John chapter 20. Here we go. Let's look at another one. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. We see through Jesus Christ. So we look for that little phrase first. Through Jesus Christ. Okay, what? Through Jesus Christ. I thank my God. So if we're going to be thankful, if we're going to, for somebody else, you do it through Christ. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. He's able to do that only through Him. Look at chapter 3, verse 24. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, so there's through Jesus, through Christ Jesus, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, what is? So we're justified freely by His grace. You see, we couldn't have that if it wasn't through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So this is just a simple way of doing a word study, actually two words, through and Christ, to see what it is that we have through Christ. So we're able to thank God through Christ. We're saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have, and in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, here's another one. And we struggle with these because we have them available to us, and we let the earth and we let the worldly things challenge us and get us down. So I'm guilty here. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, what's that? We have peace with God. So with whatever is going on in our day-to-day affairs, we ought to have peace with God anyway. And you know what? The peace with God, the peace from God, and the peace of God and those things. But this is peace with God. We have peace. I mean, we may have some troubles and struggles and da-da-da-da, but we don't have to worry about having a struggle with God. So if somebody puts on us that we've got the problems and God's going to do this to you and God's going to do, how can that be the peace of God? How can that be the peace with God? I have peace with God. And Christ is the one that made that peace. And it says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He took the punishment. He took the penalty. So we have that peace. Look at verse 11, Romans chapter 5, verse 11. Okay, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, what's that? Joy in God. That's pretty tough. Joy in God. But that's joy in God. Not only so, but we also joy in God. Through our Lord Jesus. We know we have the living God. Amen. Not the unknown God that Paul talks about. Not the one that everybody in almost everywhere has anymore. We also joy in God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be through Him. By whom we have now received the atonement. So because we've received that atonement, and through Jesus Christ, there's that joy in God. We joy in God. It's a verb, joy in God. Look at verse 21, chapter 5, verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. Okay, here it is. Through righteousness by Jesus Christ our Lord. Through righteousness unto eternal life. What's that? Grace. Grace reigns. And it's going to reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And we realize that righteousness is His. That's how grace can reign. Then when I heard that comment, well, we're under grace anyway. This is a time where we're all under grace, so what's the problem? Don't worry about that stuff. Well, you know, that's not what Paul wants. That's not what the risen Savior wants us to, how He wants us to look at grace. Okay, let's look here to Romans 6, verse 11. Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, okay, through Jesus Christ our Lord. There it is. What is through Jesus Christ our Lord? Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And that has to be through Jesus Christ our Lord. And, you know, as I think about this, these things people will not have if they have another Jesus. There's only one Jesus on offer these, and that's the Jesus that Paul teaches about. Romans 6, 23. I got a sermon I'm saving, trying to save it for the conference. Somebody challenged about the faith of Christ and the faith in Christ and that type of a thing. And he mentioned that the gift of God is salvation. And we see right here, what verse are we doing? 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So yeah, there it is. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, what's that? Eternal life. It's a gift. But I think that you'll see Wednesday or sometime this week that there's another degree in there, that the gift isn't just salvation. He doesn't just hand us salvation. He has to give us something so we can have that salvation. Does that make sense? What's that? Grace. And through faith. And so that salvation that is that he says the gift is salvation. No, the gift is God's grace, which gives us that salvation. And we get that grace through faith, and then we have his faith. And it just made me do a little, just a little pickier study of what the guy was, because he just kind of generally said something. And no, that's, you know, sure, it's given us salvation. It's given us eternal life. Just like he says, the gift of God is eternal life. But because he gives us grace, he can give us that eternal life. Otherwise, he couldn't give us that eternal life. He has to give us that grace. Otherwise, he just has to ignore all the garbage that goes on and give us eternal life. He can't do that. He had to do something for that. Then he's given us that grace, and then so we can have that eternal life.
He's taking apart the package is what you're doing, and showing increments of
it. Yeah, because you can't just say, like this guy said, that he just gave you salvation. No, he had to... Yeah, some of it, Christ has to do something here. He doesn't just check a name off. So not only do you receive his grace and you receive his faith too, I mean that's part of it, through your faith, there's also the spiritual circumcision that has to take place. There's always the sealing that happens. I mean there's things that take place in that package of salvation. Yeah. So just to say salvation, I said, wait a minute, there's a little bit more. Not much. Yeah. Well, that's what it is, yeah. Right. Romans 7:25. Let's go to another one here. Romans 7:25. It ties up there again with Romans 1:8. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. What? I thank God. So if Paul could specifically thank God just through Jesus Christ our Lord, so this mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So it's because of Jesus Christ, he can still thank God. Romans 15, look at Romans 15, verse 17. Romans 15, 17. The word through, and we're talking about things that are through Christ, through Jesus Christ, through the risen Lord, however you want to look at that thing. It says in Romans 15, 17, through Jesus Christ, what? That I may glory in those things which pertain to God. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Now, pointing out the through and then through Jesus Christ, we see that that is split up, may glory in those things. And as we go quickly with our reading, sometimes we'll miss that sort of a thing. So here's just a chance to see what it is that through Jesus Christ I may glory in those things which pertain to God. And we might miss that if we could kind of skim through that quickly. That's what that was for. Here's an odd one, Romans 15, 19. Verse down to verse 19. Oh, I've got this. Yawns yet tonight. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem, around about into Illyricum, I fully preach the gospel of Christ. Now, this particular verse, we're looking at Paul's things. So, Paul preached to the Jews, and he's preached to the Gentiles. There's your both crowds there. And he's fully preached the gospel of Christ. That means he's also through mighty signs and wonders. And he did that in his early ministry. That's why you have to be able to rightly divide Paul and go beyond Paul, because you could pull the signs and miracles right out of Paul's stuff at that very beginning stuff. Because he had the Jews there and all that, and he hadn't gone on to the Gentiles only and all that sort of a thing. And by the power of the Spirit of God. So he's preached it all. Romans, what's that? Maybe just a drink of water or something, I suppose. I don't know. Romans 16, 20. We have no air moving in here, other than my own. Romans 16, 25. You see the word through Jesus Christ. What's that? Be glory. To God only wise be glory. All the glory that God is because goes through Jesus Christ. The only way that we can give God glory is through Jesus Christ. We get that out of Romans chapter 8, verse 8, too. That you can't please God without, you know, being a Christian, without being saved. Romans 16:27. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1.
Well, there's one.
It was 1:5:15.
Is there a lot more?
No. Unless I missed a couple there, but otherwise I'm hitting them all. 1 Corinthians 1:1. Did you see some that was worth?
No, I didn't go verse by verse.
No, I'm going to try to cover them all here for time wise. There's not that many more. We're not going to do the tribulation. You know what else? I'd like you to go get one of those little things there. I'll put that on there. Okay, you're right. Put it over here. I'll put it somewhere. Crummy having to have a nice furniture once in a while. You know that? Are they in there? Ah, there we go. I'm not used to this stuff at all. There we go. Up and out of there you go. Thank you very much. Okay, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 1:1. And it says here, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. I like that one. Paul couldn't be what he was, but it was the will of God. Through the will of God. He is an apostle. We also know that he is the apostle. Let's go here to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I know this is just a preposition and it's tying some words together, but as I always feel kind of odd doing these little grammar things, I get lessons back from people who actually look into these things and they start to see some things as they read, so that's an exciting thing. 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you. So Paul is the father of these people. And he says, through the gospel. Through the gospel. He became like a father to them. Isn't that kind of a sad thing? You've got all these instructors with no fathers. I think what's really sad is that they have no fathers and have an instructor. And I in the military, when I taught in the military thing down there in South Dakota, a lot of those kids didn't have fathers. Didn't have mothers, actually. They had officers and instructors, you know. Sometimes a parent can be an instructor and not be a father. And you go through that. Remember those things you did the other day? That you preach, you exhort, you challenge. What were those words? You exhort, you challenge, you, there's a third one in there. Comfort. Remember those? Edify, there should be edification, not to your destruction. And we've got these fathers today that are instructing. They're not fathers. There's no comfort there. And they're destroying. And I think that's what a man should be as a father, is a destroying instructor without any comfort and love and stuff like that. And here's Paul saying that. You guys have got plenty of instructors, but, you know, you don't have many fathers. And then he tells them, I'm like a father to you guys, for in Christ Jesus have I begotten you through the gospel. I care for you people. That's what he's telling them. Let's go here to 1 Corinthians 15. That's hard stuff, really, when you know those situations. I don't mean to always talk about them, I guess, but I look back at my years. Was I ever an instructor, not a father? Was I not a comforter at all? And you go through that, and it's too late kind of stuff. You hope they pick it up. But 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's that? The victory. Give us the victory. And we all have victories we're praying for and we're trying to have. And we need to have them through Him. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, which would be a King James Bible, rightly divided and read and followed and strengthened and stood by, growing in knowledge and judgment with, doing right, standing up for what's right, the best you can. And I suppose in lots of cases, picking your battles because you want to make, you want that victory. It's got to be through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to make this thing work. And sometimes we struggle with that stuff, don't we? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. This looks like a verse that should be right after the one we just read, but it's not there. It's a little later, 2 Corinthians 3:4. And such trust have we to Godward. We have our trust to Godward. How is that? Through Christ. So if we're going to trust this victory, we're going to trust God to guide us and show us the right way, then we have to have that trust toward Him, and it's all still through Christ. Well, here's a negative one, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. By fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So, through subtlety, we could have our minds corrupted. And if you look at that, if you're going to be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ, that means you're going to be subtly made into complication. You're going to be taught that it's very complicated. You're going to slowly, over the years, realize that I can't learn this. I've got to learn this from my pastor. I've got to learn my Greek. I've got to do this. I don't understand this. I don't know how to rightly divide. And after years and years and years of that, you've been subtly corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And to try to get people to be uncorrupted from all those years is pretty tough, because they're ingrained. They've been beguiled. They've been deceived through subtlety. And it's just the opposite of what the simplicity that is in Christ. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. That's a sermon by itself. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Let's throw in this through Jesus Christ. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So that's good. There's two throughs in that one. It's a double header. Look at chapter 4, verse 7. Look at chapter 4, verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God. Oh, okay. Oh, by the way, through Christ. That's what makes that possible. And Christ is a risen Savior. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Ephesians 2, 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us. I'm glad. But it has to be through Christ Jesus. I would like it when He does Christ Jesus too. I have to study that through. I know there's something too that Jeff down in Colorado has done a lot of things on that. But through Christ Jesus, we will be shown the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us, ages to come. Through Christ Jesus. Okay, let's go down to Philippians chapter 3.
That goes back to what you were just talking about a while ago, too, about the grace and salvation. And there's a lot there.
Right.
There's a lot there.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that is another sermon, because the stuff I was looking at, grace is really a lot more than we've...
Well, He just said, in the ages to come, we're not going to get it all here.
Yeah. Then you get into the tribulation, and you see that they don't even get their grace until He comes.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah. So there's a different space, dispensational way to look at grace. We have His grace now, and yet
we don't even know it all.
No,
not nearly.
No, I believe the book does, but we can't figure that thing out very well. We're not doing time with that thing ourselves, you know. Yeah. And then yet when they receive their grace is when He comes, so they're going to be ready when He comes. I'm glad I have His grace now. Where are we at? Philippians 3:9. Okay, Philippians 3:9. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is the righteousness which is of God by faith. So yes, the righteousness which is of God by faith, but it says it comes is through the faith of Christ. And there's that faith of Christ, and I'll say that for later. through the faith of Christ. It doesn't say through faith in Christ. This is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Look at chapter 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. And the, let's see, through Jesus, through Christ Jesus at the end. Okay, what is that? Verse 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. How? Through Christ Jesus. And that's a hard verse in some ways when you don't have peace sometimes and you're struggling with things, because why is the peace of God not there? He shall keep your hearts and minds. God will do that, but it's through Christ Jesus. So somehow we have to stay in tune. We have to stay reading and hearing Him. Does He ever leave us? No, He never leaves us. Does He ever break fellowship with us? No, He never breaks fellowship with us. But we're the ones that break fellowship with Him. And you can put yourself on a huge guilt trip, and it may be the case that you need to just be really trusting with what He says to give you that peace of God which passeth all understanding. And to keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's one of those guilt trips you get when you read your Bible and you're not just Mr. Peace yourself. Or like we sing the song, until then my heart will go on singing. Until then with joy I'll carry on. Oh yeah? That's just one of those songs I think that most of us lie. Most people lie when they sing that thing. But our peace of God should come from Christ Himself. The way you get that is from reading your Bible and blocking out the things that are taking place and that you can't do anything about, and try to find that peace of God. And you've got the peace of God, you've got the peace with God, you know, taking care of things. But what about the stuff that just tears at you? Shouldn't tear at you. That's according to this. Now, I'm not going to stand up here, this highly paid preacher with $90,000, and talking big because he's got no problems in his life, because he can just buy off his problems. I'm talking from a guy that we struggle with things. I'm not money. We're just with life in general. A lot of people are this way. Where's that peace of God? Where's that keeping your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus? The struggles you have in your own home, different things. Why is it not there? Something's going on in our lives. We all have it. These are tough times. I think we all get into those concerns. Mothers, parents, having another baby, you know, and schooling and kids and the conference coming up and all the complications are going to come out. This thing this morning with all these machines breaking down. Like both computers could not get the internet hooked up, and this microphone wasn't working, and it just didn't gel. And I don't have a lot of peace of God, and my heart and mind is not, and it's just not going well during those things. And then I come up here and I plug them all in, everything just works hunky dory. And then I just right away think, well, Satan hindered. It's just even like talking about these guys that were coming out for the conference. Some that can still, one maybe still can come. I hope. I haven't heard of them. See if his name is even on here. John, you going to drop me the big bomb here right now in front of everybody that we can't even get you to come out? Is that where we're at here? Maybe I don't want to do that right now. Yeah, don't do that now. Unless you're going to tell us you are coming. Uh-oh. No, he's not saying that either, so I don't know. And we'll have our guys here do it. We have hopefully have some local crowd coming in. Get something started. Again. Where's the peace of God for all these things? Struggle times. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, 13. Okay, well, I can do all things. Okay, here we go. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Okay. There's different ways to talk about that. I've talked about it before where it says it's those things that you do through Christ that strengthens you. That's where you get your strength as you grow up as an experienced Christian. You get people that say that you can do anything because you've got Jesus as your Savior, so you can do anything. Because Christ said, what if it's not in God? What if it isn't what Christ wants you to do? He'll still let you do it. Does He have that kind of physical power in life? I can do all things through Christ. You know, I don't have to study for my test. I can do it. Christ will give me the grade. And then you find out you're bound to the test. Well, what's the matter? I can do all things through Christ. He said He would give me the courage to go through the test and know all the right answers. It's not what He's saying there. I personally think it's I can do all things through Christ. And all those things you do through Christ, you strengthen you. You grow up. But, you know, whatever. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians 2, verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you. Well, that's a good thing. Let's not be spoiled. Let's not be ruined. Let's not be destroyed, rotted. How can that happen? Well, through philosophy and vain deceit. That's the philosophy that's out there can spoil us, can make us stink, it can hurt us. Then after is another preposition, by the way. After the tradition, how's that going to happen? Well, after the tradition of men. And after the rudiments of the world. All those are time one after another there. But you can be spoiled, you can be destroyed, you can be ruined through the philosophy and vain deceit of this world. And that philosophy and vain deceit is nothing but a bunch of traditions of men. And rudiments of the world mean this is just what the world does. This is just what you have to do. Rudiments, when you're a drummer in a band, which is why there's nothing wrong with playing a drum. You've got, I forgot how many, 16 or 20 some rudiments you have to learn. If you can play all those rudiments, those basic patterns on a drum, then you can play any rhythm that comes along. Other than these Jungle Bunny, I'm assuming that, all these witchcraft rhythms and that type of a thing. But the good old, what you can do with a stick is like 18 or 21 rudiments. You play those rudiments the right stick, and then you can play Sousa, you can play anything. Those are the basic things you got to have. This world has basic things we've got to have. And if we're not careful, those basic things we can have can spoil us and ruin us. And we all know for a fact right now that these basic things, that these rudiments of the world is, whatever you do, you're doing it for money. Because you just need money. How far wrong will you go to get that money? Or what's the rudiment of the world? I mean, these are just things we have to do. It's getting tough. It's getting tough. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, which is good, I like that, even our Father, which hath loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope. So he's given us that. Through what? Through grace. So our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us, and it's given us everlasting consolation. That's everlasting consolation. It's not going to go away. I mean, I still don't understand. As I think, I wish I could remember these verses when you're talking to your friends, where they say God's going to put the stink on you because of what you've done and all this kind of stuff. Remember this, all that thready stuff? There's another one. Hey, we have everlasting consolation. Why would they say that? Because it's through grace. And our strength is in 2 Timothy 2:1, I think it is His grace. So that strength ought to give us that grace, knowing that grace is there, gives us everlasting consolation. No, the grace is not there so we can just do anything we want. The grace is not there so we can go against Paul's sound doctrine and just make money. No, the grace is there for when we're trying to do right, and as tough as it is sometimes, that consolation will always be there. God will always be there. And there's always that hope, you know, and it's because of the grace. That's why how grace can even just be our strength. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Just about done. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 here. Verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, what did he do here? Who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Okay? Through what? Through the gospel. That's what he's done. Who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light. through the gospel. And you find that gospel in Paul's writings. You'll find it in the Gospels, because he talks about his death and his resurrection. And you find in the book of Revelation, you find the everlasting gospel. You find Paul's gospel. So we see that the gospel has different applications and different uses in here. One more here, I think. Maybe just a couple more. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, yeah, here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. We have a bunch of childs in here. So these kids should be learning the Holy Scriptures. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And I have underlined here, to make thee wise unto salvation. That means you know about your salvation. You know all the particulars that go along with your salvation. It doesn't that you just know you're saved. You're wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I like that, to be wise unto salvation. And it's through faith in Christ Jesus that we can be wise unto our salvation. Not just have it, but be wise unto it. Titus chapter 3, verse 6. Titus 3, verse 6. Doing real good on time here. Titus 3, verse 6. We can go up to verse 4, I suppose. Well, first we'll look at verse 6. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Okay, so what is that? He has shed on us abundantly. Verse 4. But after that, the kindness of and love of our of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. There's the Holy Ghost being shed upon us abundantly. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So, through Jesus Christ, there were being shed abundantly. So the word through can help us with a number of, here's what he is, here's who he is, through what do you get this, and all that comes after that. Just kind of a little quick little grammatical lesson here. I'm wondering, I haven't even looked at this, these are the verses that have the through. Ooh, sorry out there. Look at 2 Peter, look at some tribulational throughs here. 2 Peter 2:20. To show how this doesn't match Paul here. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, which we know they'll have to do during the tribulational days, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So they're going to have to get this knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or they're not going to escape the pollutions of the world. That'll be tough. They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse than with them than the beginning. And like you did, or Jason or Kenny preached there, whatever. That's not our fear. To fear the fact, okay, so we slipped up. We stayed away from something for a while. And it worked for a while, but then you slipped up and went back into it, and it's worse than it ever was before. That's probably, in many cases, very true. You know, I mean, you're not going to deny that aspect of it. Somebody who's abused, all these, remember they say 8 times or whatever, think it was they said, they get the average is 8 times, the wives go back to the abused husband 7 or 8 times or whatever. I'm sure that at first it sounds fine, but they probably end up worse than the second time or the third time or the fourth time. Yeah, that's tribulational stuff. It shouldn't have to be that way. Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today, that should give us the wisdom to stay away from those abusive situations or how to deal with them, even when an abusive situation tweaks your mind. That Bible can help us. And I'm talking, what do you say, talking to the choir? When you talk to yourself? Is that what that means?
Preaching to the choir?
A small choir, but, speaking to the soloist. It's all about knowing Jesus Christ, and not just knowing Him, but reading about Him and reading through Him and realizing that those are true things to give us that strength and to give us that courage, knowing that we're not going to get entangled therein again. We could get back out in that mess and everything, but it isn't going to be worse necessarily. If it is, it's because you're reaping what you sowed. That's all that would be.
Their death.
Yeah, right. They could end up
because of what he said. The Pharisees will end up not even knowing that righteousness.
Yeah,
because their death when they're judged, you know the truth.
Yeah,
we didn't follow it. I don't know. Then you can take.
No, you can't. Yeah, Romans 2. He talks about their conscience, and their conscience is seared, and people do know what's right. And then, But see, when you compare that with Paul doesn't go down that direction. He doesn't put that fear on us. Christ has taken care of that. Yeah. And those are the kind of things that we have to think of when we realize that we're talking about joy and His help, because He isn't always just gonna. He's not gonna just fix the situation. He's gonna give you the. What did we say? We said comfort the heart during time of tribulation. He'll still comfort the heart when things are rough. We just need to pretty much trust His words when He says that, and that's not always that. And those people out there, they have a hard time with that sort of a thing. We have here, I think that's probably all we need to do here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia. We know that Peter was the apostle of the circumcision. Anyway, there you go. There's your through grammar word, and done just a little early. I was going to do some review here, but I think we'll just skip it. The notes will be online in the next day or so. They're all hand printed, so I might just scan them and slap them up there, and then you can print them off and call them the originals. There you go. I've done it before.